Good morning. Hope everybody had a good day, had a good week. If you have a Bible, I want you to join us in Romans. In Romans 2, Paul is writing to the church where he spent time in town in prison on two different occasions, the first in a rented house and the second in a dungeon in the middle of a street. Horrible situation to be in, but before that, he writes this letter to them. Trying to encourage them, and I want us to learn what we can from the letter to the Romans. And what I want us to learn about is the kindness of God. He tells us in verse 4, "Don't you know ye not, that it's the kindness of God who leads men to repentance?" He's going to build up to that to show us what not to do as we begin. So if you got your Bible, or there's one in the pew in front of you, we are Romans 2 today. We'll start here. He says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things." Is that true? Well, I don't do the same things they do. Yeah, well, James 2 says that if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law, right? So even though, you know, you're not an adulterer, if you do something else, you're still guilty in all points of the law, aren't you? The wages of sin is death, and we all deserve death. And so we get grace by God, but we don't have the right to condemn others. Remember when you were kids and you said, if you point a finger at me, what? You have three more pointing back at you? Remember that when you were... Did anybody learn that when they were kids? Was it just me? I think we all learned that when we were kids. You're supposed to learn that when you're kids. You're not supposed to condemn somebody else because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So he says, if you are condemning others, you're guilty. Don't you go condemning somebody else. But it's so easy to condemn people. If people are messing up somewhere... Wherever it is, how many times do our news stories point blame at people? On both sides. And Facebook posts point blame on both sides. He says, don't spend your days condemning people. Verse 4, he's going to say, spend your days showing kindness. It works better. So he says, avoid condemnation. Why are we without excuse when we choose to judge others? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if I judge you, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? He says, judge not that you be not judged, for whatsoever judgment you judge, it'll be measured to you again. Why do you behold the mote that's in your brother's eye and don't behold the beam that's in your own eye? He says, you hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Do we have sins that we've committed against God that outnumber the sins they've committed against us? Oh, by far. By far. He says, then don't do that. Don't go there. He says, when you judge them, you condemn yourself. Okay, the guy that holds the gavel, and he makes judgment in the court, what if he messes up? He's in bad trouble, isn't he? When a judge does something wrong, he's in bad trouble. He gets the book thrown at him because he's a judge, because he's done worse. Just by being a judge, he has a responsibility to be kind, to be an example. Now, how are we condemning ourselves when we judge others? See, the judgment that I'm saying, if they did this, they ought to get this. Well, if they ought to get that, what should I get? Okay, if they ought to get that, if I'm saying they ought to have this judgment against what they've done wrong, then what am I supposed to do for what I've done wrong? The wages of sin is still death. I don't want that. Then don't you judge somebody else. Now, what can we do to help avoid passing judgment? What can we do to help avoid passing judgment? What you do is you care about them. Let each esteem others more highly than himself and look not to your own needs, but the needs of others. right? Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. And so I'm supposed to be caring about that situation. I care about that person. Am I going to condemn them? You know, can't you see, you get to Damascus, and God says, hey, Ananias, I want you to go talk to Paul, or Saul. He's still Saul of Tarsus at that time. And so instead of going and teaching about Jesus and baptizing him, Saul goes in, Ananias goes in there. You persecute all those people in Jerusalem. You did all that bad stuff. What would he accomplish by that? Well, we wouldn't have 13 books in our New Testament that we've got, I'll tell you that. Okay? If he hadn't come and brought the message of Jesus to that man, he'd have been in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. We'd have all missed out because he chose to practice condemnation instead of choosing to practice kindness. Now, God's judgment is directed at those who judge others. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you not think that you'll escape God's judgment? Okay. Do you think you're going to escape God's judgment? I hope we don't think that. Okay. If someone is judging others, how does God look at that? Oh, I got three kids, okay, and when they were little, if they're messing up here, this one's messing up, and then this one gets on her high horse or gets on his high horse and he starts condemning the other one, who's in the most trouble? The one that's condemning his brother or sister. Because they all mess up, don't they? Is that true with your kids? Guess what? It's true with God's kids. Okay, what should we learn from the fact that God's judgment is based on truth? When God makes a judgment, is he right every time? I was, when we were reading this morning in Ezekiel, we got to the part about daubing the walls, whitewashing the walls. Instead of really fixing them, he says you just daub them with whitewash. And I remember when I was a kid, my Uncle George preached in Crescent, Oklahoma, Church of Christ there. He had a sermon on that. And I said, but the sermon that really impressed me was his sermon on Achan. Remember Achan who stole the gold spike and the silver coins and the Babylonian garment from the city of Jericho, and everything was supposed to be given to God because God gave them the city and they're supposed to give all the spoils back to God. Well, when they chose, who to punish for that sin, 36 people died because of that sin. And so he gets judged when they cast the Urim and Thummim and it came down to the tribe of Judah and then to the clan of Carmi and eventually to the person of Achan. When it came down to that, did God make a mistake in there? No, because when they dug in his tent, guess what they found? The gold spike, the silver coins and the Babylon. When God makes a judgment, is his judgment always right? When you make a judgment, is it always right? Well, I was sure that... No, you don't know. See, you don't know what's going on. So many times, someone says an unkind thing. Do you know what they're going through? Do you know what loved ones they've lost or what trials they've endured? It's tough, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know what other people are going through. And we make a judgment when if we were in that same situation, we might not even act as well as they did. But God's judgment, when he makes a judgment, is it based on truth? Every time. Every time. So, how does it help to understand we're mere men? Compared to God's judgment, how's mine compare? We're just mere men. He created the universe. He measures the universe in handbreadth. Okay, God's amazing. He calls the stars by name, and we know there's at least 200 hextillion, and we didn't find the edge with Hubble. Oh, we're sending one up in next year that's supposed to be 7 times as strong as Hubble. So we're going to be able to see things that, oh, wow. It's got an antenna on this thing that's as big as a tennis court. We're putting this big one. It's kind of cool. All right. So, but the thought is, even then, I still don't think we're going to find the edge. You know why? Because God's job is to be amazing, and he's way good at it. Okay? And we are mere men. Do we compare to that? We don't compare at all. There's no way we compare to that. He's God. We're mere men, which means when God makes a judgment, it's okay. How about when I make a judgment? Not good. So that's not my job. So how can a realization of our shortcomings help persuade us to be kind? Okay, somebody, he cuts you off in traffic. Right? That bugs the life out of me. I'm working on that one. Pray for me. Okay? Now, whenever you had something on your mind and you weren't paying attention, did you ever cut anybody else off in traffic? Confession's good for the soul. Okay? Well, but yeah, but I had this really bad thing going on. Well, maybe they did too. Okay? See, when you kind of put yourself in their situation, do you have less reason to judge people? Yeah. Don't judge. Okay? If I realize, hey, I fall short too, then do I have less inclination to judge them when they fall short? Hopefully, yes. That's that empathy thing. Really caring about others. When Jesus was coming around the little Hermon one day, he had, it says, a whole multitude of people that were with him. As he comes around the side of the mountain, they come into this little town called Nain, and there's another group of people coming out from the town at the same time, and in front of them is a casket, or not a casket, a board, and on the board is laid the body of a deceased young man, and behind him walks his mother in the garb of a widow, and there's no family with her. And Jesus sees she's lost her husband, she only has one child, and he's on the board. And Jesus, it says, felt compassion. It says, moved by compassion, he went up and touched the board. And everything stopped. Okay, why did he do that? Because he cared, because he was moved by compassion. Okay? I need to see the needs of people around me to move me to be kind, to care. I fall short. I just need someone to love me like Jesus loves me. And guess what they need? They need someone to love them like Jesus loves them. And guess who he chose to do that? You. We are the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And here's what we're supposed to do. Verse 4. Deciding to judge others is showing contempt for God's kindness. So here's the first part of verse 4 that you don't do. He says, verse 4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? God's kindness is what leads you towards repentance. And when I'm judging others, it says I'm showing contempt for God's kindness. What should we learn when we see God being kind to those who are deserving of judgment? Have people messed up? When Saul of Tarsus had killed a bunch of people, he held the coats for the people that stoned Stephen. It says he bodily went into houses and took men into prison. It says that he cast his vote against them, causing them to blaspheme and put his vote against them to put them to death. Nice guy? Man, could you judge him for what he did wrong? Well, yeah. But we do wrong too. And God chose to show kindness to him. And to what leads men to repentance? It's not judgment. The goal is not to scare the heaven into them. Okay? The goal is to show kindness. That's why we're here. So we see God being kind to Saul of Tarsus. We see God being kind to David. When David said, I've sinned, in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, what did God say? He says, I forgive you. He broke half 10 commandments in that chapter of the Bible. God forgave him. And he was a man after God's own heart and served God with all his heart, rest of his life. Now, even in a crisis, how does our judging show contempt for God? Have you seen any judgmental editorials, comments about any of the crises in the world in the last 2 months? My goodness! Every problem in Houston is somebody's fault. Every problem in Florida is somebody's fault. Every problem in Las Vegas is somebody's fault. And most of the editorials, most of the news articles that we read, what are they about? Wah, 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 wah. On both sides, right? On both sides. We're all condemning. We're all tearing down. Is that why we're here? So we can show how wrong they are? Jesus never said, go ye therefore and pin their ears to the wall. Okay, it's not in there. That's not our task. Our task is to show kindness. Did people do some wrong things on both sides of every situation? Yeah. What's the solution? Like I told the kids this morning, if somebody hurts somebody else, what's the best way you can spend your time? Is it condemning the person that messed up, or is it showing kindness to the person that needs kindness? Sometimes they both need kindness. What's our job? See, when Ananias comes to Saul of Tarsus, he's the guy that was picking on the other guys. Does Ananias still show kindness? Yeah. What does God call us to do? Show kindness. Okay? When they're nailing Jesus to the cross, what does he say? Father, get him. No, he didn't say that. Father, forgive them. See, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And when we say, well, no, we need to get after him, we're showing contempt for the grace of God. We're showing contempt for God's kindness. So whatever the crisis is out there, our job is to be kind. Our job is to help out. Well, you know, I can see where they messed up and they messed up. Yeah, yes, guess what? You messed up too. Our job show kindness. Now, what can help us to purposely avoid showing contempt for his kindness? To purposely avoid showing contempt for his kindness, we have to purposely avoid condemning and judging. Make it a point. Don't go there. Remember when you were six and they said, no, you got three fingers pointing back at you? You do. You got at least three times as much pointing back at you for anything you'd point at somebody else. Truth? Every one of us. If you don't think so, we'll talk after services. Okay? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that seeketh after God. Romans 3, 23 and then verse 10 and 11. Okay. So, we need to purposely avoid showing contempt by purposely avoiding judging or condemning. So here's what we're supposed to do. Our task is to practice kindness that will lead men to repentance. Your job is just to be kind. Now, who are you supposed to be kind to? People of your race? Yeah, and everybody else. People of your political persuasion? Yep. And everybody else? People in your income level? Yep. And everybody else? People in your, you know, educational status? Yep. And everybody else? When Jesus showed kindness, did they have to meet? What status did they have to meet for Jesus to show kindness to them? Jesus had just sent the disciples out by two. In Mark chapter 6. He'd sent them out by two, and they'd come back, said, you know, we cast out demons, we healed the sick, we did all this. And Jesus says, I saw lightning falling from the heavens, you know, when you... And they said, oh, and your cousin John was beheaded. And Jesus says, let's just go to the other side of the sea and be alone. And so they got in the boat to head to the other side of the sea so they could be to a quiet place. But the crowd had seen him go, and they chased him. They ran around the lake. It's 7.5 miles across the lake, 11 miles north and south, but they only had to go like 10 miles around the lake to get, and they got to the other side before he got there. And when he got the other side, he didn't chew him out. It says, Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he felt compassion for them. And he taught them many things. And then he had Andrew find a boy's lunch, and he fed 5,000 with a boy's lunch. Okay? Did he need some quiet time with his disciples? Yep. Did they interrupt him? Yep. When people interrupt you and you're doing something important, do you remember to show kindness? How do you do that? That's easy. You don't care for you, you care for them. Was Jesus caring for him or caring for them? He's caring for them. That's how you show compassion even in times of crisis. That's how you show compassion even when things aren't going well in your life. In fact, one of the kindest things you can do for you when you're having a really hard time is go serve somebody else. Does that ever work for you? Yes, it works great. Then do it. When you're showing kindness to others, you know, my wife didn't do exactly what I wanted to do in this situation. Okay, so I'm going to be mean to her. Does that work? Has that ever worked for anybody here? That's like shooting yourself in the foot. Husbands, don't go there. Okay? You don't do that. Instead, you show kindness to them, and guess what? They want to show kindness to you. That's pretty neat. It works, and it doesn't just work with husbands and wives. It works with parents and children. It works with all kinds. Show kindness. Well, they didn't do it right away. Well, you didn't do it right away last time either. But keep it up. It'll happen. Truth? Keep it up. So, how does God's kindness persuade you to want to follow Jesus? To follow Jesus, he says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8:34 and Matthew 16:24. And he says daily in Luke 9:23. So, I got to deny self and follow him. Well, guess what? He was kind. And if you're going to follow him, guess what? He was kind. Guess what my job is? To be kind. In fact, I love, I know it's not on the outline, but this is of all the titles found in Scripture of Jesus, guess which one's my favorite? Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Come on, Titus is in there. There it is. Titus 2, Titus 3. He says, verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I love that title of Jesus. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. You know what Jesus is? He's the kindness and love of God, our Savior. And he appeared. And when he appeared, did everything change? When he appeared, did everything get better? And guess what he called us to do? Deny self. Take up our cross, whatever it's going to cost, and follow him. When you do that, he calls you to a life of self-sacrificing kindness. that when you deserve to be comforted more than any person on earth, like he did in John 13, he lays aside his outer garment, wrapped himself about with a towel, poured water in a basin, and washed 12 sets of dirty feet. And we follow him. We get this thing upside down? Okay, good. How is your kindness persuading others to want to follow Jesus? Whoa. You see, what he said is the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. It is, when he ascended up into heaven, was he done showing kindness on the earth? Or does he continue to want to show kindness on the earth through his body, the church? And if we are the fullness of him who fills all in all, how's your kindness calling men to repentance? Do those things. I've told you about my son, his wife, where they go to church. The first Sunday they went there, you know, some people talked to him, and then later on they got a letter and a visit. On Wednesday, a lady came up their front door with a plate of cookies. Said, "Here, I want you to have a plate of cookies." Well, later on they decided they want to go to this congregation. They went to this, they had a class for new members in this congregation, and they're sitting in this new class, and they told about somebody coming by with a plate of cookies, and everybody in the class said, "Yeah, me too." And the guy teaching class says, "Yeah, when I came here 17 years ago, she brought me a plate of cookies." Guess what she did every day? Is that a good ministry? Her ministry of kindness. It's a ministry of kindness. How is your kindness persuading others to want to follow Jesus? Some people do that with cookies. Some people do that with pies. Whatever you do, you use what you have, the ability you have, to bless the next person. That's why we're here. Now, what can you do this week to make your kindness more persuasive? It's the kindness of God that moves men to repentance. We have been called to be the kindness of God on earth. What are you going to do? How are you going to purposely be kind? Sometimes we get our lives so busy we have to schedule prayer time into our day timer because we don't have enough time to pray. Or schedule in Bible reading into our day timer so we have enough time to spend in God's Word. Well, sometimes we need to schedule kindness in there too. Kindness to our wives, kindness to our kids, kindness to neighbors, kindness to co-workers, because unbelievable kindness. Kath and I have been reading a book this last month by Bob Goff, a guy that didn't pass the test to get into law school, but now heads the law department at Pepperdine. He had studied the wrong material. He sat at the president of the law schools. He sat on a bench in front of his office every day for a week until finally the president said, "Oh, go get your books." All right? But he blessed so many people's lives. He blessed so many people's lives in Uganda that they made him, he's an ambassador for Uganda. He gets to drive around those little cars with the flags on it. He can park anywhere he wants. He saw, "I can park in a fountain." But he blesses people's lives. He says, his book is entitled Love Does. Not Love Is, Love Does. If it doesn't do anything, it's not love. The sixth grade boy who loves that girl and never says anything to her doesn't love her, because love does. Love just isn't. Love does. So what can you do this week to make your kindness more persuasive? You care. You do things that you know will bless that person's heart. It doesn't say you sit around and wait for somebody to do that for you. It says you do it for them, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. So the lesson this morning is to respond to and then to become kindness that leads people to God. That's our task. We're here to be the kindest people in Circleville. We're here to be the kindest people in Pickway County. We're here to be the kindest people in Central Ohio. That's what we're called to. Wherever you work, wherever you live, wherever you are, we're here to be the kindness of God with skin on it. So, what makes us think that we should judge others? Self-justification,
pride, self-focus. Yeah, a lot of bad things I don't want in my life. Then don't do that. Why would God direct judgment on those who judge others? Because he doesn't like people judging his kids. You like people judging your kids? Somebody says something bad. Well, that's not your kids. That's not your... You know, I don't like people judging my kids. You like people judging your kids? God doesn't like people judging his kids. Then don't do it. Instead, be kind. When you're tempted to give him a piece of your mind, give him a piece of your heart. What has God accomplished through his kindness towards you? Oh, wow. He has blessed me so richly in so many ways. I owe him more than I could ever give him. How's God blessed you with his kindness? On so many occasions, you're called to be that kindness for others. So, what does God desire to accomplish by his kindness through you? I don't know. But I know he wants to call more people to him. And I know he wants to use my kindness to help that happen. And I know he wants to use your kindness to help that happen. You going to let that happen? Are you going to purposely do what you can to help allow that to happen this week? Let's work on that. Now, if you're not yet in Christ, you're trying to do that with your own brute strength and awkwardness. We learned in Bible class this morning that all the good we have in our lives, it's not because of us, it's because of the Spirit that lives in us. The Spirit who lives in us transforms us and makes us more like Christ, creates his nature in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's fruit of the Spirit. He wants his kindness to be recreated in our lives. How can we help you do that? If you're not yet born in Christ, we're asking you to make the biggest commitment you have ever made in your life. It's wet, it's messy, it's humbling, but it says from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus with everything I am. If you've already been baptized to Christ, you need us praying with you about something. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.